Our prayer today is that everyone here leaves with more hope and encouragement and feeling more connected to God as you're prepared to face this week. A reminder to most of you who've been here, and an announcement if you've never been here before: I'm the family life minister. And so one of the functions I fulfill is, if you need someone to talk to, thank you for the support, hon. If you need someone to talk to, you can come in and talk to me. If you don't want to have the stigma of talking to a therapist and doing therapy, call me your family life minister. We can meet here. We can meet, drink coffee somewhere. So feel free to come and talk to me. At the same time, I own the business, Gulf Coast Christian Counseling, and I'm a licensed therapist. And if you need therapy, what is therapy? It's probably something you need to talk about that's been developed over the past 6, 7, 8, 10, 15 years, and you need to come in for several weeks, okay? If you're a member here, you get a discount, okay? And if you're not a member here, we have a sliding scale. What does that mean? We're going to try to work out something so that money is not a barrier to us helping you. One way you could help is, since this was launched by this church, is I have 1,000 of these cards that I just got here. I've already given out 1,000, so we have 1,000 of these. If you work somewhere, you can put it on the bulletin board. If you have a doctor, a dentist, a loan shark, wherever, you can leave a stack of these. Feel free to take these. If we run out the next 1,000, we'll get them. You could help me by that. Leave them at the grocery store where you shop. So these will be out in the foyer after service. Brandon. Okay, well, doggone it. Brandon, I have some advice for you. Never say something. Never make fun of someone who's going to get up and speak afterwards, okay? And my advice to Brandon is, if you're going to hand the ball off to me, don't deflate it before you hand it off to me. So, anyway, it's great to be here. Normally, when we, at this time, it's the sermon time, and most of the time we talk about, in some way, we're accountable to God for something. How we live our lives, how we live our married lives, how we treat our kids, how we treat our parents, how we treat our coworkers. And we give an account for our lives, and we're held to be accountable at this time. But what I'd like to do this morning is turn the tables on God and hold Him accountable and ask the question, God, what do you do all the time? How do you spend your day? With 7.4 billion people on the earth, what are you doing about all of this? How do you spend your time? But we'd just like to know. And so we have a short video that's maybe will help us answer that question. You can play it.
Okay, I need something with a lock. Security, combination, a password. A password? Yo!
Turn it up, please.
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now. It's good.
It's good.
Gonna take a while.
Oh. 1,527,503 prayer requests.
I better manifest some coffee.
Hola, Juan Valdez.
Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Disfruta un buen café.
Gracias, señor.
Adiós.
Adiós.
Ah, now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia.
bunch of whiners. This is gonna suck up my whole life. Yes, to all. Yeah, there you go. Now everybody's happy.
Okay, Jim Carrey in this movie plays a TV reporter, and he complains to God, Morgan Freeman, and so he lets Jim Carrey play the role of God for a week. So what does God do most of the day, all of the day, 24/7? He listens. He listens to us. He pays attention to us. Our requests, our thanksgiving, our complaints, our disputes, our claims, our secrets, our confessions, our ailments, our pains, our distorted ideas, our fibs, our lies, our whining. In the end, whatever we speak, whatever we pray, and probably whatever we think, he's paying attention. He listens to us. And we never interrupt God. We never interrupt him when we're talking to him. His pleasure is in listening to us. And he is able to listen to 7.4 billion people at the same time. We, on the other hand, we can be interrupted when we're talking to God. I have a business cell phone, an iPhone. At home I have a laptop computer, a 32-inch monitor to go with that computer. Gail has an iPhone. She has a computer. She has a monitor. I have an iPad. And in the worship room, the entertainment room, we have a 60-inch television. So that's about 8 screens in our home. And these screens aren't passive. They're beckoning us. They're whispering, Jerry, stay connected. There's things happening all over the world that you need to know about. There's people dying to talk to you. There are texts coming in. There's what's up that you need to listen. You need to be connected. And so I'm easily interrupted by God. When we speak, God thinks it's so important to know that we're being heard, that when we have things that are difficult and profoundly painful, and the struggles and the crisis we go through, and joys that are inexpressible in words, according to Romans 8:28, the Holy Spirit serves as a divine translator. And he translates whatever's going on within us into words, into divine eloquence that God can understand. And so whatever's going on with us, whatever we have to say, whatever we have, whatever our desires are, we present them to God, and he's always there, he's always listening, he's always paying attention, and he's leaning in. He's paying attention with all of his being. He's looking at us, not just listening. He's never distracted. He's paying attention with the entirety of his being, as if we were the only person on the face of the earth. He has no other place to go and nothing more important to do than stop, turn to us, and pay attention. Look us in the eye and listen. It's so important that God listens to us that David, 65 times in Psalms, beseeches God to hear him. So if God is listening, what do? Well, we pray. If he's listening, we pray. He's listening all the time. He senses it. And as parents, we know that there are times that our kids really can't appreciate all that we're doing. So even though God is listening to us, and it doesn't seem like he's doing anything, he's at work. Because most of what we contribute to our children's lives, they don't see. And if you're a parent, you know that. They don't see it, and they rarely can appreciate it. In the same way, God is listening, and not just passively. He's actively listening, and he's at work all the time, like the good parent that he is. It's so important that Jesus said 7 times in the gospel, and also it appears 7 times in Revelation, he who has ears to hear, let him listen. He who has ears to hear, let him listen. Now, one of the meanings of that phrase could be, I've been saying some important things, but now really pay attention because this is important. I've got something really important to say. and pay attention right now. This part's not optional. It could also mean he's referring to the Old Testament. Three times in the Old Testament, that phrase is used. And it could mean, and in those passages, God is talking about the callousness of the heart of the Israelites. They've heard so often, and they're not listening. They're seeing, but they're not really paying attention to what's going on. And basically, God's fed up with their hardness of heart and says, if that's the way it's going to be, then let your hearts be hardened. Your eyes will not see, and your ears will not hear. And so basically, there's a danger here in being a Christian for a long time. So how many people have been a Christian for 10 years or more? 20 years or more? 30 years or more? 40 years or more? 50 years or more? 60? 150? What? Okay, it's great. And the Bible honors those who are older and wiser more than young people. Sorry, young people. Okay? You can still come to class on Wednesday night. But it gives preference to those who are older. The danger is you hear something over and over and over again, and you get so used to it that it has no effect, that it has no effect upon you. It becomes dulled. I've heard that before. And it also, the danger is the idea that the more I learn, the more information I gather, the more I'll be transformed. And so we're dulled by knowledge. If knowledge were transformational, if just knowing something, bringing information, were automatically transformational, then judges and policemen and lawyers and politicians would never break the law. They're the ones who make the law, they enforce the law, and they know the law. And so there'd be no corrupt judges, policemen, lawyers, and politicians. Nurses and doctors would be the most fit people in the world. They'd never get sick. They know what they should and shouldn't do with their bodies. And they would never abuse their bodies, go without sleep, become addicted to painkillers, and on and on and on. Athletes would never ingest anything that might have a hint of harming their bodies, like steroids, human growth hormone, alcohol, illicit drugs. Accumulating knowledge doesn't necessarily bring about change and transformation. And so Jesus says to be very careful how we hear, how we listen. And it's not just the listening, it's the doing, the carrying out. And so God listens, and how we listen to God is foundational to our salvation. Thirdly, we listen to other people. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so I need some help on this part, so I need a volunteer to help me. Do we have any volunteers to come up? Clint, thanks. There's going to be two scenes. This is scene one, okay? Clint, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, notice you guys been showing up late for church lately. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, with three-year-old twins and an eight-year-old, mornings can be pretty busy.
Oh, man. Tell me about it.
Well, they like to get up really early and wake us up. Then they need a bath, and then we got to cook breakfast, and then, we live 30 minutes away, so it takes us a little bit to get here.
Holy cow.
It's really hard to leave on time.
Yeah. Wow. You guys are amazing.
Well, thanks.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that if you just make it to church, you guys deserve a medal.
Amen.
I mean, we had two kids, but they were spaced out, okay? Gail and I had a little self-control, okay? So they were spaced out, okay? But you just being here is an encouragement to me. And is there anything I can do to help you, bud?
Not unless you want to keep them on Saturday nights.
I know Gail wants to, but, well, listen, we'll be praying for you and appreciate you, and I know this will go on, but later on in other phases, it'll be a little bit easier. So, hey, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate you, bud. Okay, scene two. You're gonna come up the stairs, okay? It's like we rehearsed it, man. Okay. Hey, Clifton, how you doing?
I'm good, Bill.
No, Clifton.
I mean, Bill.
No, Oh, I'm sorry, Clint. Oh, sorry. Never mind. Go ahead. Sit down. Hey, man. I've been wanting to talk to you. You seem like you guys always show up late.
Yeah, it's kind of rough in the mornings, you know, getting up and getting the twins.
Oh, okay. I fully understand what you're talking about. Okay, there's one word I want to tell you that's going to solve this.
What is that?
Preparation and scheduling. Okay. So preparation on Saturday night, you guys need to all take your shower, take your bath on Saturday night, set out all your clothes on Saturday night, get everything ready, set the bowls out, get the cereal bowls, get everything prepared. Preparation is next to godliness, okay? It's there in the Bible, okay? So you guys need to prepare, and then in the morning, you need to have a schedule. That schedule needs to be everywhere, because scheduling is next to holiness, okay? So you get your schedule right and stick to the schedule. If you had a schedule, now you're not sticking to the schedule. You don't have a schedule, do you?
No, sir.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. Okay? I didn't think you had a schedule. And then you stick to the schedule. And by the way, your house is I've been to your house. It's too big. Okay? And you guys got to go it's hard. It's so spaced out. Maybe you need to downsize a little bit. And how far do you live from church?
About 30 minutes.
Holy cow. What are you doing that for? Now, you don't have to move now and downsize, but pray about that, okay? You guys might need to be thinking about that. And then on the way to church, on the way, you're driving, and then Karen, she puts on the, Karen, is that right? She puts on the makeup.
Carrie,
whatever. Okay, so she puts on the makeup, okay? And you need to get here before the rest of us. You need to be a good example for us, because people are watching you, and God's watching you too, okay?
Right.
Okay, hey, thanks, bud.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Thanks for the advice.
Okay. Okay, in the first example, I didn't say much, did I? Did anyone pay attention to the? It was a skit, and you couldn't pay attention. We're talking about paying attention, and you're not paying attention. Okay, did I say much during the first one?
No.
What did I mainly do?
Listen.
Whoa, this is like a choir. I mainly.
Listen.
That's right. And in the second one, what did I do mainly?
Talk.
Gave advice. Did Clint come to church wanting my advice?
No.
And Karen didn't either, okay? And so which of those encounters was more powerful? The first one. Why? Because I listened. Now, we give a lot of emphasis to the power of the spoken word, don't we? The ability to teach, to persuade, to sell, to convince, to convert. And there is power in the word. At the same time, there's tremendous power in listening and paying attention. There is transformational power by just sitting and listening. Now, I don't know how many people in Clint's life just sit and listen to what they go through. And what do Clint and Carrie most need when they come to church? Advice and being put down and feel like they're just not good enough as parents? Or do they need just a word of encouragement and understanding in what they're going through in this phase of life? There's power. There's transformational power in just listening and paying attention. And so the other passage that Clint read this morning, Jesus is the wonderful... Are you paying attention here? Okay. Jesus is prophesied that Jesus will be the wonderful counselor. Well, what's the most important thing a counselor does? What's one of the most powerful things that a counselor does? Why do a lot of people go for counseling? They need someone to listen, because no one will sit down and listen to them. And so let's talk about the triangle I call the triangle of transformation. Okay, when people come to talk to a counselor, any kind of counselor, and all of us are counselors, all of us, this week nearly everyone here is going to give counsel and advice to someone. Tell someone what they think you should do, okay? Everyone's going to do that. Well, when someone comes to talk to us, the first thing they need is to be heard, is to feel like they've been heard, is for us to convince them that they've been heard. How do you convince someone that you've heard them? Well, we hear not just with our ears, but we hear with our eyes and with our posture. And so if Lee said something now, he knows that I'm probably going to listen because I'm looking right at him. But if he's talking and I'm looking over here and go, yeah, okay? So the first thing, we have to be heard. The second thing is understood. Did I in any way understand what Clint's going through? No. Does anyone here understand what Clint's going through? No. He's that strange, okay? Nobody understands. I mean, how can you understand, have three kids and get them ready for church? That's right. Under four. And so if you sit and listen and you try to understand and you want to understand, once you've been heard, you've been understood, only then can you give counsel or advice. And the counseling advice, the power comes through the first two. The power comes through. There's power in advice and counsel if you listen and you understand. If you invert the pyramid, you take all the power out of whatever advice. Even if you're quoting scripture, even if you're quoting from the sacred scriptures, and you don't have enough patience to listen to someone, you've sucked all the power out of what you have to say. So the writer of Ecclesiastes says, everything has its season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. And when we think of God, we think he's always talking. He's not always talking. Most of the time, he's just listening. And so in my experience, we're very ready to talk. Most of us. Some people just like to listen. But we're ready to talk. We're extremely impatient to listen, pay attention. We tend to be lazy listeners. Lazy listeners. So we're looking at someone. It looks like we're listening, but what's going on inside of us? This person's keeping me from doing what I want to do. I've got so many things to do. Or we're thinking about what we're going to say. You cannot think and listen at the same time. Isn't that right, Phil? You can't think and listen. To listen, you have to stop thinking. Okay? So if you come to talk to me, know that I'm not thinking. Okay? That's the most important thing to know. No, you're just trying to absorb and get into their lives. We're not only the mouth of God, we're also the ears of God. People are spiritually hungry, emotionally hungry, to get someone to stop, look, listen, pay attention, simply make an effort to understand them. And we live in a world that more and more discourages paying attention to people personally. We've all got screens and we've got things to learn and things to catch up, and we have to stay connected. And it's become so powerful. They did a study in England that they discovered that the Brits, British people, a third of them will answer the cell phone, their cell phones. A third of them will answer their cell phones even when they're doing the hoochie-coochie. They're doing the hoochie-coochie. The cell phone rings, and one out of three will answer the cell phone. That's incredibly powerful. So what chance do we have when we're just talking with someone and the cell phone rings? Because I rarely say anything better than the hoochie-coochie, okay? So it's powerful, and it's getting more and more challenging. A person can talk on the average 100 to 150 words a minute. However, there are people in this congregation that talk more than 150 words a minute, okay? I talk about five words. I'm slow, okay? We can listen, on the average, to 400 words a minute. The question is, what do we do that difference? I can think 400 words a minute, and I can listen to 150. What do I do with that difference? So a good counselor learns to listen slowly, to slow down the anxiety in your own world, and listen, and allow that other person to come into your life. The sociology class tried an experiment. Whenever the teacher approached the heater, they would all pay rapt attention. They stopped everything they're doing, and they all turned to the teacher and gave their undivided attention. Whenever the teacher got away from the heater, they would be distracted and not pay attention. By the end of the class, the teacher was giving the class sitting on the heater. That's the power of listening and paying attention. We can transform people by the way we just simply give them attention and listen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the theologian, said we must listen with the ears of God so we can talk with his words. So not only are we God's spokespersons, we may very well be his ears. Taylor Caldwell wrote a book about a lawyer who, after his wife's death, built a sanctuary to her memory. He invites people to come in. There's a chair, and then there's a place where there's a curtain, and he welcomed them to tell the curtain what's going on in their lives. And 15 different people came in from all walks of life, a judge, a lawyer, a doctor, the cleaning lady. They all came in with broken lives, and they spent the day talking to the listener. And at the end of the day, each of them, curiosity got the best of them, and they all opened the curtain, and behind the curtain was Jesus. Jesus is the great listener. He's not just the great teacher, savior, and preacher and teacher, but he's the listener. So God hears, we listen to God, and we listen to others. This very week, God might put someone in your life that needs to be listened to pay attention to. They have burdens that they don't feel like they can share with anyone because no one cares enough to stop what they're doing and listen and give their undivided attention. And be like God. There is no other person in the world. I have nothing better to do, and I have no place to go except be right here in front of you listening. You might be the very person that God chooses to be his ears this week. Because that's how he listens. Not just way up there in heaven, but right here. People with flesh and blood and eyes and ears and hands. We may be the ears of God. And so that's our encouragement this week, that we can powerfully transform the people in our lives by also paying attention. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. May God bless us all.
Stand and sing, please.